coming to you from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studio. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
All right, guys, here we go. Top of the morning to you. I got to tell you, man, anyone else ready for winter to be over? I don't know what's happened in my old age.
What? You were born and raised in Alaska.
I know. Here's where I'm at on cold weather. If you live in it, it's not a good thing.
No.
If you recreate in it, it's an awesome thing.
Oh, yeah. Recreate. Absolutely.
No, I'm serious, man. If you got a snow machine, snowshoes, sleds, dog teams, totally different.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife about this a couple days ago because it was snowing and it was nice. And there's something about the freshness of snow. So when you're recreating in it, you really only see nice, fresh snow. But when you're living in it, you have time to see it become all brown and gross.
Yellow and
disgusting. And so,
you know what they say, don't eat yellow snow, man. When I was a little kid, my dad always told me that, do not eat yellow snow.
It's not a snow
little
cone.
Kids in Alaska, in all seriousness, they mistake it for something and they get curious.
Yeah.
So all kids in Alaska get warned, don't eat yellow snow.
It's true anywhere else.
You, is that what you said, Ellie?
Yes, I did.
Anyway.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. You're enjoying your coffee or tea.
So if you had a snow machine or snowshoes or a dog team, you'd appreciate it more, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's true. Okay, we're on a hot topic here this week, so we'll move off yellow snow onto a really fun one, and Allie's got a wing dinger for us here. We've been asking, how do you know, all week long about disciples, but it's fun to look at this from a different angle.
It is. So this is one that parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles will resonate with. How do you know your child is growing up? What are those things that let you know, they're growing up?
My first thought is their pits stink.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my first thought.
That is a good thought.
I was thinking more along the sentimental lines.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That could be sentimental.
It could
sorry
be.
About that.
The first time that my son kind of pulled his hand away when I went to grab it to hold it while we walked.
Oh.
And he said, no, I don't need to hold your hand, Mom. And I was like, oh, he's growing up. That was the one for me. I know he's growing up now.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah.
Man. What about the age range where they're too cool for, like, everything?
Hello, I'm there.
They're growing up when they can't wear a jacket to school in the middle of picking freezing
cold. Tell me about it. What is that?
I do not know what that is about. It spans every generation.
It's true.
I did it. My kids did it. So I'd say to my kids, put your jacket on. We will, Dad. We will. No, they didn't. They run into school.
Mm-hmm.
Jackets
just
in their hand.
Sweatshirts, right?
Sweatshirts.
Hoodies.
Yeah, I mean, max hoodies.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So did you track the height of your kids on a wall or on a growth chart?
I sure did.
Well, your son is 6'8", so.
6'8" and a quarter.
They ran out of door, so you're probably reaching up pretty.
Well, it was weird because we went through, and you guys know this if you've raised kids through their fast growth stage. Caban had an extraordinary one. He had 8 inches in, I think, 16 months. And so it was every time we went to the door, which seemed like every other week, we're going, oh, my word. And we go, oh, my word.
Oh, his bones.
Oh, he ached.
Yeah.
Like, but it was so fast that when you can mark it, like, every week the kid comes in and he's growing a little bit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was scary. But, yeah that's fun. Could you see him growing up?
And mm-hmm.
It's weird. I wanted
Voices change.
I wanted to rip that molding off that door and just take it with us, but I didn't do it. I wish I had.
Oh, when you moved?
Yeah,
I wish I'd have taken that. It's just the threshold walking from the hallway into the living room, a big opening, and on one side we'd have lean up against it. I wish I'd have pulled that off.
Oh, yeah.
Wish I'd have pulled that off.
For me, this is a little embarrassing, but also it was a proud moment for me. When I was a young boy answering the phone, I finally stopped getting mistaken for Mrs. Reinke.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so the voice change. That's a big one.
No, how frustrating is that? For
as
a
an 8-year-old answering the house phone, and they go, hi, is this Mrs. Reinke? And I go, no, this is her son. Let me go grab her. And so that was always
every
the most embarrassing.
Every little boy had that.
Yes.
I mean, I got, is this Mrs. Clausen? I'm like, no.
No. It's no.
No. No. This is Carl.
Yeah.
And then they'd say, oh, Carl, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one day they say, hi, Mr. Ranky. And you go, I finally did it.
Yeah.
I'm growing up.
I'm growing up. I'm a man now.
Well, that comes full circle back to my original one.
Which is what?
The armpit.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's what all that changes. Sorry, Allie.
Full circle, everybody.
Allie shouldn't have asked. What was that one?
True.
Coming up, we're talking How Do You Know, and we're going to recap where we've been this week. If you haven't been with us, oh, man, I think you're in for a treat. What in the world does a disciple of Jesus Christ really look like? Anyway, straight ahead.
Get more from your morning show. Check us out on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
We've got a giveaway for ministry leaders. This is a really cool charity event, a black tie event that happens annually here in Chicago on the eve of the nation's largest auto show. We want to send a ministry leader plus three guests to this black tie event. Check out the cars a night before the event opens. Have great food.
The cars, the group?
What?
Oh, no, the vehicles. I'm sorry. I thought you said the cars were going to be there.
That would be pretty cool.
What did I say?
You said cars, but he thought, there's a band
there's a group
named
called
Cars.
Yep,
that went right over my head.
It's okay.
You're gonna see some really fancy cars that you can take pictures with. That's the fun things. Take pictures with these cars that cost, you know, $500,000.
No, we did that once.
We did that. We went as a group because some of our team members will be there again this year. This event is in support of Lydia Home and some other great charities. If you are a ministry leader, and this is anyone who is in leadership in a local church, could be a pastor, could be a small group leader, whatever capacity it is, others are looking to you as a leader. If that's you, you qualify. Text the word LOOK to 312-274-9624. We'll get you the entry form with all the details. Text LOOK to 312-274-9624.
Let the good times roll. Oh, let them roll. Oh.
Wow. Do you guys remember the last time we went there and I thought I saw Fabio? And you guys all encouraged me to go take a picture with him. And then I chased after him, and he wasn't Fabio.
It wasn't Fabio.
Did I encourage you?
You did. You said, oh, you got to go get a picture with him. And or maybe it was Matt. I think it was Matt,
it was
our manager.
Matt. I didn't tell you that.
I missed that one.
And I walked up, and I said, are you Fabio? And he just laughed and said no and kept walking.
That's
well,
hilarious.
I've got a picture of me with Fabio in my phone.
Yeah.
But it's one of the more less becoming photos of me. So I've got it in there for posterity's sake, but I will not show it to anyone.
It's not like on social media kind of
thing. I might let Allie take a peek at this thing and see if it's ever worthy of putting out, but it's full Fabio. He's out in Deerfield, and he's out at a Whole Foods selling his protein powder.
Hilarious.
And I walk up to him, and I go,
super random.
Fabio!
Okay.
And he goes, yes! In his great accent. And I'm like, and he gave me a big old bear hug. And then he starts talking about his protein powder. Let me just tell you something. This guy isn't schlepping stuff he didn't believe in. He actually believes in his protein powder in a big way.
That's interesting. Good.
So hey. I had a picture taken with Fabio. Other people are walking around going, is that Fabio?
That's awesome.
Let me just tell you, our picture isn't going to make it on the cover of a novel anytime soon. But it was there.
Yeah.
All right, we're tackling this. How do you know? And I want to go back. Self-denial was Mark 8, 34 through 38. You got that thing, Allie?
I do. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it.
Come on, teach us up. Come on, teach us up on this one. I'm not going to say a word.
Self-denial is the entry point for the Christian.
Boom.
Yeah, it involves sacrificing what we would want to bring God glory and to follow him. That's what we are. We're followers of Christ. We're not just believers in him.
Boom. That's what disciple means. It indicates movement.
Yes.
And so it's not a matter of just getting your ticket stamped. It's a matter of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So self-denial's there. All right, man. Boy, you guys are just churning it up here today. Coming up here in just a moment, we're going to hit the second of four that we're going to have this week. The second characteristic of what a disciple is. Oh my goodness. We played a John Mayer song yesterday that captured this thing to a T. Love is a verb. That's the best way to say it. We'll give you a hint of just exactly what this verse is straight ahead. John Mayer setting up second characteristic of a disciple.
Love is a verb. It ain't a thing. It's not something you hold. It's not something you scream. When you show me love, I don't need your words. Yeah, love ain't a thing. Love is a verb. Love ain't a thing. Love is a verb.
Yeah, man, John Mayer right there. I mean, this is so cool. That came out in 2012, and he absolutely nailed it. We're looking at a second characteristic, and this is what we rehearsed yesterday. If we look at John 13, 34 through 35, what do we find here?
It says, let me grab it for you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
You know, I don't know how to describe this. I'm trying to get two-word descriptions for each of these that kind of captures the essence of it, but I'm working with the term radical love. Do me a quick search on the word radical definition, if you could, Young Thunder, while
okay.
we talk about this.
Yeah.
But this love is not, it's more than words. In fact, John Mayer goes on to say in this song, the second verse, he talks about it's not a stack of IOUs. What's he mean by that?
It's not a bunch of empty promises. If you've ever had somebody in your life who their way of love was just kind of promising you something, but somehow those promises never
delivered.
Really delivered.
Yeah.
And anyone with a parent who was absent understands this. A lot of empty promises.
Yeah, it's really true. You got a definition for radical hot dog?
Yeah, it's a little wordy, scholastic.
Okay. Yeah, give it to us.
Especially of change or action relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something, far-reaching or thorough. Use in a sentence
that.
Is a radical overhaul.
Yeah, I think radical love is the best way to say it because there's a lot of different loves. By the way, did you know, phileo, storge, agape, there are eros. Those are four different Greek words for love. But the love that's being spoken of here is agape. So this is a radical love, and we can only agape others because he has agaped us. So there should be a real distinctive here for disciples of Jesus.
And that was what we talked about yesterday, that loving one another, that's number two on our kind of list of four characteristics that let you know someone's a disciple of Jesus.
Big time, big time. Okay, I'm going to move here because I want to get to this next one. This is very, very important. When we think about descriptors of disciples, I think this next one, well, let me give you a hint on this one. Playing a little game here. Jim Coakley loves this. We were in an elder board meeting.
He's a professor here at Moody, also a deacon or an elder?
Elder at
your church, 180 Chicago.
Yeah, we were on an elder call, and Dr. Jim Coakley is a big guy on this one. In fact, he was really pumped that we highlighted this. But really, we didn't do it. Jesus did. Because he starts to, when Jesus explains, you will know that, people will know that you are my disciples when you, boom, do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shoot. I mean, shazam, let's pay attention here to what's going on. And so he does that here. Coming up in just a moment, what is the third characteristic? We're going to have Allie read this passage of scripture, and then I just think you're going to go, okay. And then what's that mean for you and me? Straight ahead.
It's like coffee, but for your ears. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
This is Carl and Crew Mornings, helping you take your next step with Jesus, 90.1 FM Moody Radio, and keep it safe out there and stay warm. This too shall pass. This season will go away. I want to set up, what's so funny about that?
The little hand motions you did.
Yeah, you couldn't see that. This season will go away. I like seasons. But
that's
some
good.
Seasons, I like it when they're over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you ever get so burned out on heat that you're ready for it to go? No, Allie doesn't.
No.
Wow.
I love hot weather.
Yeah.
So if you could put me in a place that was forever fall, that would be great.
Forever fall.
Yes.
The trees are always orange.
Yeah.
The leaves.
I would love it. That would be awesome.
Isn't that funny?
That's a great time.
And you can't swim.
I don't care. I'll go to indoor pool.
All right then.
Unfortunately,
poor Super Di. She chimes in this morning. She's been doing lots of other work, and the first thing she gets is, "Well, forget it. I'm going indoor pool."
Sorry, Di.
No. Okay. She's a dune dweller, though. Okay. Her and Allie, man, they love that.
You guys are the summer people.
Summer, as long as they have water.
What's that?
As long as I have water. I mean, I don't want the 80s or 90s if I'm not swimming or around water. Yeah.
Allie doesn't mind if she just sweats up a storm.
Right? I'm like, no, thank you.
I'm good with warm weather.
Okay, as promised, we get the third characteristic of how do you know you're a disciple? Take it away, Allie.
This comes out of John. I want to make sure I've got the right one. This is John 8, 31 through 32, correct?
That's it.
Okay. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Okay, I'm going to play a game with you guys because I'm working on getting these into two words. Come on, put this in two words. And as true to the text as it can be. This could be a good one. I love this. Hit my team cold here.
Let's see.
Two words.
No truth.
No truth, because you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. But what's even before knowledge that will help us with these words? This is great.
Mm-hmm.
This
can
is
you
great
read
exercise.
It again?
Yeah, read it again.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Oh, I don't even need two words. I just see one, abide. What?
Okay, but let's get two words, because abiding could be in Christ alone. John 15, abide in me.
Yeah.
Of course, in John 15, he says, abide in me and let my words abide in you.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, abiding goes both ways. When we abide in God, he abides in us.
It's four words, but abide in my word is what jumps out. But
I know, it's hard to get it into two words. Isn't it?
Words.
Abiding word?
Word close, close scripture. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard to get things into two words sometimes.
Word focused.
Word focus is getting close.
Abiding scripture.
Abiding scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom
scripture
line is,
abiding?
What does abiding mean that devotions doesn't mean?
Mm. You're putting it into practice. Devotion, you read.
Well, you could. I mean, some devotions you'd put into practice, but definitely abiding means that there's a commitment to it that's beyond just one and done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a commitment to it big time.
Absolutely.
When you're abiding in something, you're sold out.
Yes. When you abide in something, that means you are positioned inside of it.
Let me get a real definition, but don't mess with
Webster. I mean, Allie.
I'm genuinely curious as to what would this be the original Greek?
Oh, the original Greek.
Oh.
But here's what's great, guys. You can do this for sure, and this is where sometimes we get off kilter. Let me give you a Bible study methods approach to something here that's very important. You do not have to know the Greek language. If the word abide is used, it's being used because it's the best English word that describes the original Greek. So
yeah.
read an abide definition. Have you got one for us?
Merriam-Webster, the meaning of abiding in is to remain stable or fixed in a state.
That's powerful.
Mm.
And that's exactly what the original language would imply, fixed in or remaining in. In fact, Jesus describes in John 15, abiding by remaining. He uses those same words. How is this different than being a person that loves the word? Is it?
Well, it can be. Can it be?
How is this different from someone who reveres the word?
Mm. I mean, I think you will meet people who have a high, certain denominations in particular, view the word very highly.
Right.
Have a very high view of scripture and the word of God, a high reverence for it, but almost as if it's something that's can't even be touched, where it's so highly revered, it's kept on a shelf, so to speak. So it's a high view of scripture, but there's no interaction with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I think of the relationship
with it. Yeah.
Diana, don't you have a story of that kind of how some of your close loved ones had kind of had that same.
Well, that's where my mind went because I thought Ellie for sure was in my brain.
Okay. Coming up, Super Die is going to illustrate this really clearly. And by the way, we're not denigrating any religious sect or anything, but we've got to illustrate it. And Super Die's story illustrates it to a T. That's coming up.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Yes, we are. All right, what are we tackling here today, Allie?
Well, we're talking about how do you know what a disciple of Christ really looks like? And we're trying to find the right words to truly capture what's stated in John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
You're like scripture committed, word centered. Really, it's Christ-centered, but your word committed. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get it. The
yeah,
because
we have deny self, we have radical love, and now we've got this abide in the word, or word focused, or word centered. We're kind of trying to land on two words that really capture it.
You got it yet, Young Thunder?
I don't. Abide in. That, in all honesty, that's probably the closest I can get to two accurate words.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Do you have two words or
scripture.
are you waiting? No,
I don't have. I'm a wordsmith in nutcase.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I can't get two words that really capture this. If you've got them, text them to us, Boom Crew, 312-274-9624. You got two words that describe John 8, 31 through 32. Bring it on. Don't hold back. But right now, we got a story for you.
Yeah, as we talked about, is it can you abide in the word? Is someone who loves the word the same as someone who abides in the word? We wrestled with that. And Super Die's story sort of illustrates why they're not one and the same. Viewing the word highly is not the same as abiding in it. Right, Di?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember as a little girl at my grandmother's, at my yaya's house, there was this beautiful big Bible. She sort of had those two-tiered end tables back in those days. Okay. Those wooden two-tiered tables.
Yeah.
And on the one tier was this old Bible. It just sat there. And I mean, it was dusty. It was just, you could tell it had been around, barely touched, always, you know, couldn't go near it, told not to touch it because that was the Bible. You don't touch it. That is God's word. We leave that alone.
But it was viewed as
revered because it was God. It was the Bible. So, yes, it was revered. You know, it was very important to her. It meant a lot to her, you know, and, you know, again, being God's word. But you don't touch it. You don't open it. You don't move it. You don't do anything with it.
Wow.
Question.
And she left it out, though.
I love that story.
You know,
we're talking about is abiding in the word the same as loving the word? Can we really? I feel like loving the word, we're almost not using the correct definition of the word love when we say we can love the word without abiding in the word.
Yeah, we're not using the right word.
Because I think that love has the proper understanding of the value of something or someone.
Boom.
And appreciating the proper value of something or someone. And in this case, the proper value of the word is to read it and apply it. And so I feel like properly loving it and abiding in it are the same thing.
I love the way Young Thunder thinks.
I know. So I think maybe the better question would be, is revering the word highly the same as abiding in it?
Right, right. Or having an appreciation for, because you can, I believe you can have those things and not abide in the word.
Right. Exactly.
This is
as my story.
I love hearing you guys go on with this because this is great. I think it's also possible to be a disciple who was once abiding in the word and is now no longer. And that's very real possibility.
Very true.
But what does Jesus say? Read it again, Allie.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Wow.
If
you're looking at a real disciple, they abide in the word of God. If you are truly my disciple, you abide in the word of God. What's that mean for people that never crack the word open?
Whew. I mean,
no, I'm being serious here, guys.
And if we just take it at its on face value.
I'll tell you what K. Arthur thinks about this.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you reverse that, it would be, if you do not abide in my word, you are not truly my disciples.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with K. Arthur and her husband, Jack, before he passed away. This was probably 8 years ago on a lake in north of Atlanta. We were on a boat dock, and it was just Janann and I and K. Arthur and her husband. K. Arthur is the author of Precept Ministries and the primary teacher for Precept. And she is an amazing, not only student of the word, but a teacher of the word, like off the chain, amazing. One of the best in America. And we were just pouring out our hearts about different passages of scripture. And she said, you know what, guys? And she went to this passage. I remember it distinctly. And she said, it's hard to say. And this is a hard truth to digest. She left some room for the fact that disciples can get derailed. But she says, if there's a preponderance of evidence that a person does not abide in the word and have a hunger to apply it to their life, you have to conclude sooner or later, this person is probably not born again. Therefore, not a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm.
And this is a teacher of precepts. This notion that you can, one of the greatest ways to tell a Christian in name only is they claim the name of Jesus, but they've never cracked the word.
Yeah.
Nor do they have an interest to.
Yeah. And this isn't like, you know, the people who live in countries where the Bible is not accessible. You even look at their lives, you hear stories of people
they're
who
hungry
are Christians.
To get it.
They're hungry to get it. They follow Jesus in the things that they do know about him and what has been told to them. But following or getting in the word does not prove that we are disciples. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to run to the Bible and read the Bible so that I can prove to everyone that I am. But it's when you are, you have the natural hunger to jump
into
the word.
Yeah, and we need to go back to the definition of abide.
Yeah, yeah. So abide in, to remain stable or fixed in a state.
Okay, so Jesus said, if you abide in, remain stable or fixed in a state of being in the word of God, you are really my disciples. That's heavy duty, guys. Mm-hmm. It's hard to hear, isn't it?
It is.
Because we have a lot of loved ones and a lot of people we know who have never cracked the word, nor do they display any hunger to do so.
Yeah.
That's a major red flag.
I just read a little bit more in Merriam-Webster, and they use the word as an like the Bible as an example for their sentence.
Merriam-Webster?
Yeah.
There you go.
Their second little definition of abide in is to continue in a place. And their sentence is, I will abide in the house of the Lord.
Interesting.
Right there in Merriam-Webster.
I think that this is a word that we don't see a whole lot outside of Scripture.
Yeah.
I think if when you think of the word abide, I do think you think of abide in Christ or abide in the Lord. Because those are the references that are where it's used.
Yep. Whew. This is sobering, guys. This is really sobering. Coming up in a moment, we're going to kind of recap this a little bit and set the deck for a question that we have for you coming up in this next hour.
Keep up with the team on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook or Instagram.
Oh, man, we just went through a tough segment there. If you weren't with us, this is hard. This is hard. And I never want to be a man that tries to make things more difficult or in any way stretches things. I've heard preachers get up before and kind of stretch scripture. This one, you don't have to stretch at all. I want you to read it again, Allie. And we're going to just discuss this for the purpose of saying, if somebody doesn't feel this in their life, what should they do?
John 8, 31 through 32 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'll stop there. Just those two verses for
what's
now.
What's that mean? If you don't have, and by the way, to abide in the word, doesn't that mean you have a passion for the word?
Yes, a hunger, a desire for it.
Mm-hmm. What's that mean if you're a person listening right now? This is tough to hear, but guys, we always want to shoot straight with you. Jesus said it. He didn't say this is like a good thing to do. He said this is evidence of discipleship.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an abiding relationship with the Word of God, what should you do?
Get on your knees and talk to God and ask Him for mercy. Ask Him to give that to you.
Mm-hmm. It could be that you don't have faith, because what he says here, he didn't say that you need to grow in this area. He said this is evidence of discipleship.
Yeah.
That's heavy duty.
Yeah. I think it brings us to the place of, you know, asking ourselves, okay, where do I really stand with God? And if you come to the conclusion, or God brings you to the conclusion, that you don't stand with God, then you ask Him to help you move to Him, and then you ask for hunger for His Word.
I want to be careful here, because I want to answer the question, can you be truly a disciple of Jesus, a born-again person, and go through a season where you don't want the Word? The answer is absolutely. But what we're looking at here when we see these descriptors of Jesus, He's not telling us that there won't be times when you aren't in the Word. That happens all the time. There are times when you will deny the name of Jesus, even though you're a committed Jesus follower. Peter and the disciples bailed, even though they were disciples of Christ. They bailed. But the question is the preponderance of evidence in your life reflective of abandoning the Word? If the majority of your life, if you look at your life that you say that you've been in Christ, but 95% of it has been a real lack of passion to abide in the Word of God, you've got to ask if you've got the real deal faith or not.
And we've got a resource that we provide from time to time that really, yes, really helps you. It's called 9 Ways to Know You Stand with God, He Stands with You. And it gives you, right from the Word of God, kind of an expansion of what we're talking about this morning. How do I know that I'm in Christ? If you're wrestling with that question, I want you to text the word STAND to 312-274-9624. Just text the word STAND, STAND, to 312-274-9624.
Good word, Allie. Good catch. That wasn't even on my brain, but good catch, Allie. Okay, coming up in this next hour, I never want to, I hadn't planned on this going here today, but I never want to be a man that unduly freaks you out. But man, there's nothing like reading the word for what it says.
Text the word STAND to 312-274-9624.
Get more from your morning show. Check us out on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, guys, 7:47 is time. By the way, snapshot testimony. If you have not listened to this one this week, this is a hoot. We had a cool couple call in here. Yeah. I think she picked up the phone and he was yelling in the background, or vice versa. It was vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny.
He's the one who called
and told the story. Yeah. And she's back there going, it's a little different than, or here, explain this.
Yeah.
And don't forget that part.
I got to tell you guys, just hear me a second. You got to go check this out. Text the word SNAP to get the whole story on this snapshot testimony. It's a precious couple. He was in the clink for a lot of years. She went in to help these guys learn English. She was not looking for a husband.
It
did not enter her mind to go to the clink to look for a hubby.
She found one, though.
Some people might. It's not a good place to go shopping.
No.
As a pastor, I want to tell you, don't do prison ministry to look for a spouse.
Not the place.
But she found a spouse there.
It's a really cool story. John and Mary, you just heard a little preview of it. Check it out. Just text the word SNAP to 312-274-9624. SNAP to 312-274-9624.
Your relationship with the Word of God changed radically when really there was a convergence of some pretty significant spiritual moments in your life.
Yes, absolutely. So the year 2017, when I started working here as a student, at Moody Bible Institute on Carl and Crew Mornings, that I had really started to take leaps and bounds in my faith walk with Christ.
Okay, let's stop right there a second. So yeah. This is super important. Mm-hmm. And here's what I love about Young Thunder. He is fearless and shame-free when it comes to him talking straight up about his relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
you have a level of absolute not certainty, but a hunch that this transforming relationship with Jesus happened after you had enrolled here.
Yes.
Okay. This is huge for people to understand.
Yeah.
This is very akin to me because I was a good kid raised in a Christian home, do all the right stuff. My dad's a church planter. In fact, my dad's a seminary grad, all that cool stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know the real Jesus until I was 23 and almost 24 years of age. Mm-hmm. What do you say to someone who is wrestling with the fact that maybe they were in around Christianity all these years, maybe even got baptized and didn't know the real Jesus? What do you say to them, Jonathan? Pour out your heart that it's okay, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is the final message. I guess I would start by saying I get it. I'm sorry that you're struggling because I know how hard it is.
So good.
You know, it hurts. It can be scary. There can be those thoughts of shame and embarrassment, especially depending on the family you came from.
Man, this is so good, Young Thunder.
But I think the most important thing, Carl, is what you just said there, is that it is okay. The things that you're feeling, the fear and the embarrassment and the shame, those aren't from God. Those are from Satan. And what he's trying to do is his aim there is to keep you quiet because he doesn't want your story to be impactful.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. And
wow.
Oh, my goodness.
You have the ability to impact people with the gospel from what God did in your life. And so don't let there be shame. Don't let there be fear. When you sink closer into God, he will wipe that away. And so just keep moving closer to him and let him take it out step by step.
Okay. We hadn't planned to totally unpack that portion
no,
of it. But,
no, we didn't.
But what we're talking about here this week is how do you know if you're a disciple? 3 days ago, self-denial. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Yesterday, basically, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay? Love. Radical love. This isn't like cheap love. This isn't hoochie-coochie, I want to get my love needs met, or whatever that's called. That's weird. That is not love.
No, it's not.
In fact, real radical love, this is super important. Real radical love genuinely loves that other person so much that the benefit that you get is seeing that other person fulfilled.
Wow.
That's the benefit you get. That's the string that's attached. And then today we're talking about this abiding relationship with the Word. So Young Thunder, all of a sudden your relationship with the Word, when God truly saved your soul, something happened.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we were here on the show. I think I was running the board that day. Maybe I was filling in for Super Die. But I was listening to you talk about John 15 for the very first time and how we abide in Christ. We're not responsible for bearing the fruit on our own. We just...
How liberating is that?
Oh, it was so liberating to me. It was, you know, because I think that was really, because, you know, if you asked me, I probably would have said I knew that already. But when you said that, it kind of clicked in a different way for me finally, where it was like, oh, I'm not responsible for working all this out on my own. Or building up this fire on my own. It's just that God wants me, and he wants to hang out with me and get me to know him, and all I have to do is hang out with him. And so that really built my fire for getting into the Word, because it was like, well, I want to go get to know him. I want to hang out with him, because, man, if he wants to hang out with me so bad, I want to hang out with him. And that's what got me into the Word.
Wow. Young Thunder, let me tell you something, man. Number one, you've got a great teaching gift that God gave you. There's no question in my mind about it. But let me tell you, you combine that with authenticity, brother, that is lethal. You are shooting silver bullets that, I mean, are taking down demonic forces left and right here today.
That's
awesome. I
appreciate
that.
He's got a text right on target, Young Thunder. All that the devil wants Christians not to talk about. Thanks for the reminder.
Amen.
So if it's true, and Sinclair Ferguson, by the way, a great theologian who writes for Ligonier. What's he say, Allie? In a nutshell, abiding in Christ
means allowing his word to fill our minds, direct our wills, and transform our affections. In other words, our relationship to Christ is intimately connected to what we do with our Bibles.
There's no avoiding it, man. Jesus said, my disciples will abide in my word. There is going to be a hunger to have our minds filled, our wills directed, and our affections transformed. And it's just no denying it. So when did that happen for you?
Tell us about it. 312-274-9624. Let's go to Matt calling in this morning from Indiana. Matt, when did that relationship with God's word change?
Well, I said it started after a tech retreat in college and started reading through college. And then I happened to be out at sea, and I was just kind of reading around and ended up reading Acts chapter 27. Paul set sail for Rome in the shipwreck, and it described, you know, not a hair on your head will be harmed, but the ship would be a total loss. The next morning, we sailed through Typhoon Bay off the coast of Korea. We were in a 140-mile-an-hour winds, 70-foot seas. We actually sucked air into our sea chest. We had taken a roll so hard we put the starboard bridge wing underwater. So, you know, that was just God kind of saying, hey, just read. You know, I'm here. This pertains to your life.
That's beautiful, Matt. Wow. That is a phenomenal story. 70-foot seas. Matt, bring Matt back up. Matt, you know I've been a commercial fisherman for 8 seasons of my life, and I've been in some big seas. But my brother, 70-foot seas, those had to have been terrifying.
Yeah, that's we were trying to figure out how our storm evasion course took us through the eye of the typhoon. So.
That's amazing. Thanks for calling in, Matt. There's oftentimes things that will bump our cup, like 70-foot seas, that drive us into the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's true. When we're a disciple and we get really bumped, we're going to have a hunger for that Word that's real. Jen and Manuka, what do you say?
Hi. Well, I don't usually call radios, but in August, a woman has been mentoring me, and she said, well, now you need to get into Jesus' word. So, because I'd been praying, and she said, you need to get into his word. And I thought, okay. So I got my Bible, and I opened to John because that's my son's name. And I started reading, and I got to the part where it said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, you know, make paths straight for me with John the Baptist. And I was like, that is me. That is me, the voice crying in the wilderness, and I need you, Lord. And ever since then, I have not been able to put my Bible down. And I had an experience, actually, where I felt like I traveled back in time, and I listened to Jesus talking to me while I was reading the Bible. So it's been really, I've always tried to be a good person and believe, but now it's just, I really feel like I live in his word.
That's awesome,
now.
Jen. Thank you so much for calling in. The word of God will do things in our life that is astonishing. It will take us and truly transport our soul into another realm, and that's with God.
Yeah, absolutely. The word is so real that, yes, sometimes it does feel like you're transported back in time to seeing it. God can give you those pictures in your head. He makes the word come to life in your heart.
Helping you start your day with a boom. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
This is tough. I'm sometimes, as a pastor, I want to soften the blow a little bit. And it sometimes, I really mean that from
soften
the bottom of my
what
heart.
Blow?
Well, sometimes the truth hurts.
Very true.
I mean, sometimes it hurts. It isn't always easy. This week, we're talking about how do you know? And we're talking, how do you know you're a disciple of Christ? What are the characteristics of that? And there's some pretty hard-hitting stuff here by Jesus. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. That's in Mark 8. We hit that a couple of days ago. Self-denial is not the pinnacle of discipleship. It is the beginning of discipleship. That's a mind blower right there. Yes. You can just stop right there and go, all right. Hmm. That's heavy duty. That's heavy duty.
It is. And then yesterday we talked about radical love for others coming out of John 13.
And radical love is it's a verb. It upsets your day planner. It upsets your schedule. It upsets your pocketbook. You give to each other as they have need. It's a verb. I mean, it's a big deal. And then today we're talking about your relationship with the Word of God is now totally changed. I mean, you now have a relationship. Sinclair Ferguson nails it here. I mean, he nails it. This is what Sinclair Ferguson says. He says, in a nutshell, abiding in Christ, this is out of John 8:31, means allowing his word to fill our minds, direct our wills, and transform our affections. In other words, our relationship to Christ is intimately connected with what we do with our Bibles. Now, my supposition is anecdotal, but I believe it's absolutely what Jesus says. When you become a disciple of Christ, you all of a sudden have a different relationship with the Word of God. And Jesus says it'll be evidenced by hanging out in the Word and it directing your will. Marion Lombard, what do you say? When did your relationship with the Word of God change?
So I was raised in church, in a Catholic church my whole life, but we didn't really read much of the Bible. And when I was 22 years old, I went to a Bible-believing church, and I opened up the book of John. And I was, like you said, a baby Christian. However, this was a game changer. And when I started, it was as though the words were highlighted and lighted up on the page.
Yeah.
And just, I felt them enter into my heart and literally set me free.
Isn't that a trip?
From all kinds of bondage.
Yeah, Mary, thank you so much for calling in. As a baby Christian, boom, everything. And it lit up, like it's lit up on the pages. I'm almost tempted to have my wife take a picture of my New American Standard. I won't do it, too much time. But if she went up to my office right now and got my first Bible, and I don't say this because I remember an Amy Grant song. She's kind of mocking the guy that carried the biggest King James you've ever seen. It was a kind of a song kind of talking about the religious folk that are trying to look great. I don't talk about my New American Standard Bible, which was my first Bible, being boogered up, but it is boogered up. I mean, it's duct taped, it's clear taped, it's tattered. It was leather. Now it looks like it's tatters. And you go to the book of Romans. That's where I started. My first days in following Jesus, I'm in the book of Romans. Guys, I wept on those pages.
Wow.
My relationship with the Word of God totally changed when Jesus transformed my soul. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.